Hey guys, thanks for listening to the His and Her Perspective podcast. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you'd like to discuss, or if you'd like to join us on the podcast, please email us at leftoverarmy@gmail.com and make sure to put his and her perspective in the subject. Thanks and have a good day. Hope you enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to the His and Her Perspective, our third attempt, I would say, to get this podcast off the ground. I'm Bernie.
I'm Brooke.
I'm Rebecca.
And how are you ladies doing today?
Good.
Yeah, doing pretty good.
Well, I've had a bit of a headache with Funko Pops. I purchased some.
Oh, I've been seeing your Twitter fight. Oh with my Funko. God.
What? Yeah, so this is what transpired, right? For Comic-Con, clearly I'm not going to San Diego, right? I didn't make it to Chicago. I'm definitely not going to make it to San Diego, right? So what Funko does is they give you an opportunity to purchase certain ones online from their website. And they only have a limited amount that they throw out there. So that day, I purchased all the ones I wanted. But the way they do their shipping method is you pay a flat rate every time you purchase something. So that means you could purchase as much as you want and you still make $7. The issue is that if you go to purchase something that's like a limited edition item, you're not going to have the time to like add other stuff into, it's not going to last, you know, till you're done shopping. So you have to pay the shipping on every item that you purchase. And they were staggering the release of the items on their website. So some items came out at 1, some came out at 2, at 3. So you couldn't just like not pay the shipping on every item. It was forced. So, this was the San Diego Comic-Con was what, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, right? So each of those days they were selling different pops. The first pop I received, I got this Tuesday from them. So we're talking about from July 20th to August 1st, it took for them to ship me, for me to get my item, right? So before all of this, I'm already complaining to them. I'm like, all right, well, you know, you're charging me a flat rate shipping rate on every item. You know, I'm waiting this long. And I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of those items I buy to resell, right? Like, but if I'm waiting on these items and people have paid me for these items, then people are going to complain, like, where are the items? I'm waiting for them to get here for all the way from Washington State. So I bring this up to them and they're like, well, that's our policy, you know, kind of like, well, that's it. Deal with it. Fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever. No, thank God. No one that purchased from me was complaining about, like the time frame it was taking. Finally, the first pop gets to me, right? It's a Scott Pilgrim with the Sword of Destiny, right? This item is already sold, right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It sold like quickly. I have no trouble like selling these things. The problem is when the pop gets here, it's like the box that it actually came in was like dented right in half. Like, you could almost like fold the box in half. That's how bad it was, right? So I open it and clearly the box of the pop is damaged. And you know, these are collectibles. They, you know, they're not just collectibles for those who buy them. They're titled collectibles on the website. So I take a video. I'm clearly losing my shit on this, right? I'm like, come on. Like, because this is $80 that I sold it for. That's money I got to give back, you know? So I'm flipping out on Funko. So I send them a video, a few pictures, and no one replies, right? Then I take the Twitter. I had already taken the Twitter, but I take the Twitter again, and I start slamming them again. And right. Then, you know, no one replies. So then finally I get an email back from their customer support saying like, well, we're not going to replace it, you know? And I'm like, well, then I got to report you to the Better Business Bureau, right? So I go on the Better Business Bureau to report them. They have a D-minus rating on the Better Business Bureau.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Yo, they clearly do not give a fuck about anybody that that orders for them. They just, like, straight up are, like, couldn't care less. They have your money, and that's that. You know, and at this point, I'm like, all right, well, I had already started selling off and giving away, like, a lot of my collection. And now it's like, this is it for me. I'm completely getting out. If I buy anything, it's clearly to just only, like, not even for myself. Like, I'm just going to, like, it's, like, something I know I'm going to resell. But, yeah, but that was my week. And thankfully, now that fantasy football season is back and we got the LAP Fantasy Football League together, I'm feeling a bit better. There's a lot more joy in my life.
That's good.
Anything interesting going on in your week, guys?
I think I'm going to go to Columbus on Saturday so I can meet Catherine Tate, who played Donna Noble on Doctor Who, because she's one of my favorites. But you and I have talked about that before.
Bernie. Yes. Yeah. Let's hopefully Jared doesn't find out about you going to see Catherine.
Right.
Brooke, that's is awesome. Oh, sorry, Brooke. Is she the one that keeps canceling at cons?
No. That's Alex Kingston.
Oh, okay.
We had a whole, like, I think I might have talked about this, that we had a group that we called ourselves the Kingston Cancellation Crew.
Oh, okay. Because I remember there was somebody who kept canceling.
She ended up canceling one time because that's when her and her now husband decided to get married. She canceled another time because she was in the Christmas episode, The Husbands of River Song. She canceled another time because she was in Vancouver shooting Arrow and there was bad weather and they couldn't get out. And those are just the three times that I can remember why she canceled whenever I was going to see her.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Catherine Tate doesn't do a whole lot of them. She's done two or three, maybe. She is Donna. She's got long red hair, and she's kind of sassy and mean, and she was with the 10th Doctor, and I liked her a lot because she sort of put him in his place sometimes, and she didn't fall in love with him, which I don't have problems with that all the time, but I don't want it to happen all the time either, so... I don't know. I really liked her. She's one of my favorites. So,
nice.
It's exciting. That's all I have.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I love Catherine Tate as well. So, congrats.
Thank you. She's funny anyway. So, she's just, even though, yeah, she was on Doctor Who and I love that, but she's also hilarious, you know, as a comedian and all that. So, yeah. What about you, Rebecca?
Let's see. Last night I saw Atomic Blonde, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw that, and hopefully I'm going to do an episode about that on a podcast soon, which is cool. And what else? This weekend I am going to do my very best to get upstate to Harrison, New York. Charles Soule, who's currently writing Curse Words comic, is going to be up there at a comic book store doing a signing.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's actually pretty accessible for me to get up there. So I think I'm going to do that on Sunday, go up and try to get him to sign Curse Words for me. So I'm excited about that, actually, to get his signature.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So this week we have a couple of articles to go over, Brooke, you want to talk to us about the first one?
Okay, so a few days ago, a girl that writes for comics, let me find her name because I can't remember what her, or that works for a comic, for like, you know, in comics, like posted a picture of her and her friends getting milkshakes and stuff. And people, She's an editor at Marvel. Let me see.
Yeah. Her name is Heather Antos.
Heather, yes. I could not remember what her name was for anything. Where have I been? Okay. It was a bunch of them went out and got milkshakes, and they do this, you know, however often, and it was a bunch of girls, and took a picture and was like, oh, it's the Marvel milkshake crew or something, and then all of these people started saying terrible things about her, about it's the whole fake geek girl kind of thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They just get harassed because they're into stuff, and it's like, I feel like some of it, people are, you know, oh, well, they hired these women because they have to, you know, kind of bullshit. But Mary Sue posted an article about it, and then not only were they horrible to Heather, then people started writing to the Mary Sue about how terrible they were, too. And it's like, they have people who write about comics and pop culture and stuff who genuinely like it. Like, I'm tired of this crap, you know? Anyway, I'm kind of frustrated by it because number one, she was having fun. How dare her have fun with, you know, friends and coworkers, A, and post it on the internet, but B, why are people like getting so mad about it and then saying ridiculous things about that her, you know, not being real in her job that she does every day, you know, and it just got out of hand, and the internet is terrible, basically, is what I feel like.
Yeah, but this is what it boils down to. Every time a woman expresses a fandom, the automatic response from a lot of males is, you have to prove it. Right.
And it's so, more, I feel like it's more so with like either niche sort of things or like written comics. Like if they're like, okay, so what comics do you read? And then, you know, I'll tell them the few that I read because I don't read a lot. Or I feel like they would do maybe, oh, somebody's going to needle you because you like Star Trek, you know, and oh, women don't like Star Trek, you know, that kind of thing because it's stupid. We can like whatever we want to like.
Well, I mean, it's just, it would never have, okay, you know, if Brian Michael Bendis, if Greg Capullo, if Scott Snyder, if Jim Lee, any of those big comic book writers, or any editor at Marvel or DC or Image or whatever, took the same picture, I can guarantee, I would bet you $1 million there would not be those kind of comments.
Wait. To be fair, if Zack Snyder and Goyer and all the fucking DC fucks, City fucking Suicide Squad and fucking BVS and Man of Steel, if they took a fucking picture drinking milkshakes, I'd probably say, and one of the comments were, like, stop drinking milkshakes and focus on making good comics, right?
Okay, but that's not what happened here. Because yeah, I might be tempted to be like, hey, stop drinking milkshakes and make me a better movie. But I'm saying that because they were women, they were called fake geek girls. They were called being fake because they took a selfie as a group of girls drinking milkshakes. So I guess people who work for comics can't also do other things because now that means you're not a real comic book fan. Like, does that happen to men? Of course it doesn't happen to men. It happens to women.
I agree. And I think that's the issue, right? So let's focus on the issue. I think when the comment fake geek girls and shit, like, they're working on comic books. You can't get more geek than that. You get me? At that point, like, a lot of people's arguments were Marvel hires them because they have to hire them, or they're putting in their political and feminist views into the comics. Well, that's what Marvel wants. Like, this is the direction that society even wants. That's where we're going, you know, and that's what needs to happen. So if they got the job to do what Marvel wants them to do, then that's not their fault. And, you know, again, I speak from a place of ignorance because I don't really read comics. I've said that several times. Mm-hmm. I don't know if what they put out is trash or if it's the best shit in the world. So I can't criticize that. What I do understand is Rebecca's point. And I think you brought that up before, where it's like, you go, even when you go to a Comic-Con or like you wear a t-shirt and someone like doesn't believe your fandom because you're a woman.
Right.
Like, that's stupid because like there are conversations when you talk to me about like Star Trek where I'm getting schooled, right? And this is where we're at. Like, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right. I mean, like, if you talk to someone like Jesse Candelori.
Yes.
In the Leftover Army, right? Jesse's a gamer. Okay, I'm not a gamer. I don't know jack shit about gaming, I don't know anything about games. So if Jesse says, oh, I'm playing this particular game and this is how you win it and this is how you do it, sometimes she does live videos and stuff. I'm always super impressed because I have no clue like how to do anything. But Jesse has talked about this before too. I think it was our very first episode of Ladies of the Leftover Army, Brooke, where it was you, me, and Jesse. And Jesse's talked about being on like an internet game or, you know, with other people. And as soon as they find out she's a woman, oh, now all of a sudden she has to prove herself. Yeah. Oh yeah, you have to prove that you know what you're doing. How about the fact that she's doing it? Like, she's playing the game, right? And she's kicking your ass. So she obviously knows what she's doing. But even if she was, like, a total noob, right? Or any woman was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm here just to have fun and play a game. Why does that have to be questioned? Why do I have to prove anything?
I agree. But on this point, I will say this. Online gaming, like chats, are the most evil places on earth. Like,
okay,
there's no law there. I mean, there are disgusting animals on there, man. Like, I have a filthy mouth, and I get offended with the shit that comes out of there.
They are, but it's different when they find out you're a girl. Yeah, that's absolutely. What's weird. Like, it does get different. And it's like, you were just talking shit to me like you thought I was one of your buddies, and then now you're all like, oh, well, so... You know, how many games did Blizzard put out in 2004 or whatever? You know, like, who cares?
Yeah, I agree. And I want to make that clear that I do
understand that,
you know, like, it's definitely a different angle.
I have a question for you, Bernie, and I'm not here to accuse you of anything, and I'm not here to be like, I demand an answer speak for your whole sex, but can you give us like any kind of insight into the male mind of what it is that if I'm wearing a t-shirt that has like a quote from a movie, right, or a fandom that I love, what is it that would make a guy walk up to me and be like, can you name that third character in the fourth book on the last page who had two lines? Otherwise, you're not a real fan. What is that? I don't know what that is. Do you have any insight into what other men might be thinking?
On that aspect, I don't know. Ego, I wouldn't know because that's something I would never do, right?
Right, and I know you. Like, I've hung out with you. We've had fun together. Like, I know you're not that guy, which is why I said I'm not here to, like, accuse you or make you say, like, answer for your whole gender. But, like, maybe you have an insight into the male mind that I don't have that you could somehow explain this to me.
I can only, and just tracking on that or like putting myself in that situation, why I would say that to someone, it would only be as in like someone acting like they know everything. And like boasting that they do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not being able to substantiate that. And that's genderless. Like when guys talk shit, I'll react the same way. I'm like, come on, do you even know like what you're talking about? With women, I don't know. Maybe like guys are like, wow, you know. Again, I'm just guessing. I can't like fathom why.
Right, right.
Like a guy sees a girl and is like, oh, she's cute. You get me? Like let me try to impress her by like questioning her and grilling her, because maybe she'll be impressed by how much I know. And she, you know, like, I don't know. Which is so stupid. Like,
P.S. We're not impressed.
Yeah. If anybody tries to do that with Doctor Who with me, I will tell them where they're wrong. Because yeah. I've had people try that. And I'm like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, that was scary. I could imagine being next to Brooke and someone trying that on her. And I'm just like, I'm looking away. I'm going to walk away. I don't want to see what's about to happen right now.
That would be, no, on the other hand, I would pull out my phone and be like, hold on, could you start again, please? Because I'd like to capture this.
Like, for this situation, right? Because then Brooke sent the follow-up article about how, like, the Mary Sue got slammed for their post. There are a few things on that article that I do agree with, though. And it had nothing to do with the incident, because I think everyone involved in that incident that questioned a fucking editor at Marvel, I think they're all idiots. For those that were commenting strictly on the quality of Marvel comics since then, that weren't addressing the gender, but we're just focusing on the issue with it, with the quality, then, you know, I have no issue with that. But those that were complaining because their feminist views being pushed, I'm like, dude, like, welcome to a world where Wonder Woman has fucking slammed every other fucking superhero movie in the world, right? Like this is the age we live in. Either grow up and accept it, or, like, you know, cry alone on a chat board, but you're not on a chat room chat board, you hear me?
Right, I mean, let's talk a second about the word feminist or the idea of feminism. I mean, in all honesty, I don't understand why everybody is not a feminist or believes in feminism, because feminists or people who want to see or people who are feminists, we don't hate men. We don't think men are the devil. We don't think men are terrible.
I mean, some of them
might, right, but I think to say the whole group, or that the idea that if you're feminist, that equals you hate men, right. I think that's wrong. Right. If you are a feminist and you hate men, then that's another issue.
Right.
For whatever your issue is, then that's another thing.
I have a friend who, like, every other day posts something about how men are trash, but then the other days when she doesn't, it's all about how wonderful her boyfriend is. And I'm like,
That's so stupid. No. Like, the idea is just that we want to be seen as being equal to men, as people. Like, I don't really understand why that's so terrifying or upsetting to so many people, that we just want to be seen as people because we are people. In case nobody knew that,
right.
Women are people too. So maybe...
You heard it here first,
people. You might want to write that down somewhere in case you forget it.
Like, obviously, when Rebecca says people, in that sentence she just said, she means everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we are people as well. And so the idea being, I love the fact that Wonder Woman, of course, did so well in the theaters. That doesn't mean, though, that I want the Batman movie to fail because it's a male superhero.
No.
That would be stupid of me to say that, because I don't feel that way. I love that she did well because we saw a strong woman on screen, but that's no different than me going to a Superman movie and enjoying how strong Superman is and all the things that he can do.
And little boys like Wonder Woman too.
Yeah.
Like they want to emulate her too, you know, like, because she can be a hero for lots of people. There's a girl I follow, she goes by Nerfenstein on Facebook, because she does a lot of mods on toys and makes them into, like, prop replicas and things, and I knew she was a woman. I did not know she was old enough to have grandchildren, because her grandson loves loves Wonder Woman, and she made him a Wonder Woman costume. Because he so he has his own adorable little, like, Amazon-y kind of costume, and it's amazing.
That's adorable. I love that. That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, and she and somebody shared it you know, on some major site or whatever one day, and she just, she couldn't believe it because, you know, she knew people were going to say terrible things, but a lot of people were really receptive to it because he just wanted to be strong, you know, strong and powerful and a good person, you know, and that's what Wonder Woman is. Everybody should want to look up to that.
And that's fair. I will tell you that the and this is where I fall into the feminist, the definition of feminism, like, issue, right? It's it seems to always fluctuate, and I think that's a problem, right? Like, some people do agree that it's not man-hating, right? Some people say it's not man-hating and proceed to, like, slander men every time they can, but say that they're not. And then you have those who just want, like, equal footing and equality, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I fall into situations where I'm like, wow, you know, like, I want to understand. And it just frustrates me when I run into, like, people like this, like, and I can't, like, I don't know what to say to them. Like, there was an article when Wonder Woman came out about how someone said that Wonder, like, I forgot where it was posted. I don't know if it was on the Mary Sue also. When Wonder Woman came out, they said that it wasn't feminist or it did nothing for feminism or something in to that nature. And that, you know, I proceeded to say that it didn't do enough for, you know, the industry or, like, for feminism in the comic book world, I guess. That bothered the shit out of me because I'm like we can't have a fucking moment, you know, like, we can't right. celebrate, you know.
No, like, I totally understand you. I find that some people who are, like, social justice warriors, like my friend who one moment says men are trash and then the next doesn't, nothing is ever good enough. Not that it should be. Not that we should settle for things. But when we're headed in the right direction, that's a good thing.
And, yes. Yes. You know, yes. I couldn't agree more.
We're
not going to get everything we want right now.
Immediately. Right.
And I get that. I understand that. I don't like it, but a step in the right direction is better than a step back. You know what right. I mean? Wonder Woman being a step forward is better than the government telling me that I can't have a job or go outside without a man escorting me. You get what I'm saying? Like, right. it's a step in the right direction. And so I personally was happy with Wonder Woman. I didn't mind that she fell in love with Steve Trevor. It was one part of her life, right? A woman can fall in love with a man or another woman or whoever she wants, and it doesn't have to diminish her as a person. Like, she was still the hero of her own story.
Yep.
Steve didn't save her. She was not the damsel in distress and Steve Trevor had to save her. She saved herself. She saved Steve Trevor from getting shot in that alleyway too. So I didn't mind that she fell in love with him because, you know, it's part of her life.
Well, he said the thing to her about, like, you know, he could, what was it? Like, he could win this battle. So that's why he took the plane, but she could do the whole thing. You know, she could win the whole war because he knew he could only do one little thing compared to her. And
exactly.
He wanted to do whatever he could to help. And you
exactly.
Know.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a step in the right direction. And there are people who will say that this movie did nothing for feminism, and that's their opinion. Everybody's got an opinion and that's fine. You're entitled to have your opinion. But I think the majority of women I've spoken to, at least, have been very happy with this movie. They were very happy, and they felt that her character was well represented and that she was not made out to be any kind of a damsel in distress, ever.
Right.
Well, you also have the homecoming argument too. Like Spider-Man Homecoming, they stated didn't meet the three pillars to make it. I think I forgot what it was. And the three things were, you have to have two female leads. The two female leads have to have a conversation for longer than 30 seconds, for 30 seconds or longer, and that that conversation cannot be about a guy. So because Spider-Man Homecoming did not have Zendaya and I don't know her name, MJ and Liz didn't have a conversation, it didn't really meet the criteria. So a lot of people were upset that that happened. And again, it's almost like, I take full like ownership of maybe I don't see how that might affect someone who, like, how that would offend someone, you know, because I don't go through, I don't experience that, right? And I watching the movie, it never occurred to me. And maybe that's because I'm a man and I don't, you know, like it's just something that it goes on. It didn't happen. But I don't know if any of you two noticed that or thought that that was an issue with the movie.
I mean, ultimately it was a movie about a nerdy teenage boy. So it didn't bother me that much. I think they could have tried harder for sure. For sure, you know, because how hard is it to have I mean, they were on the academic team together or whatever. How hard would it have been for them to talk, to be like, oh, hey, did you get all your notes in chemistry class or whatever? You know what I mean? Like something like that. It would have been nothing and they could have done it. And then Peter enters the room or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't. It wouldn't have been hard. I liked the movie better than some people did anyway, but
better than the Leftovers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I agree with you, Brooke. I mean, for me, it was a movie about Spider-Man. He should shine because it's his movie, right? It's all about him. I don't know. To me, I felt like Zendaya's character, I liked her, like the little bits I saw of her and like the other girl who played Liz. They were fine, but I always felt like to me they were just secondary characters, obviously, because this movie is really all about Peter. I didn't even really think about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because pretty much all of the kids in that movie were second and tertiary characters, I guess, you know? I mean, I guess his friend that all of a sudden I forgot his name.
Ned, right?
Yeah, Ned. I remembered his name as I was saying that. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess he is the only other one that really, and it wouldn't have made it any better if he had been a she, because it's still, he didn't really talk to any of the girls either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the time that we had a bunch of girls talking to each other, they were all talking about dating superheroes or whatever, so that was, but I mean,
yeah, like
when you're in high school, that happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be more upset if we saw a movie where, like, I don't know, like if you saw all the female like girlfriend characters all get together and like have like a coffee clatch and talk about their men, like that would really piss me off. Like if you had a movie where, like, you know, Sharon Carter is with Jane from the Thor movies, and then they meet up with Pepper, and they just talk about their boyfriends on screen. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, well, that would bug
be
me.
Even that worse. That would be me. Even worse, because they're adult women with interesting jobs.
Exactly. Like, Jane's a freaking scientist. What is she gonna yammer on about Thor for?
They did the inverse on in Age of Ultron when Thor and Robert
Downey, right,
like they were comparing girlfriends.
Right.
Which I kind of appreciated that because the funny thing is, guys do talk about women.
Yeah.
Whenever they're together. And it's not like they never do unless one walks by. They do. but it always seems like that's the only thing women talk about.
Yeah. And I agree, Brooke. Like, it should have, it really would have been nothing to do. Right, like it would have been so simple to just have them talk, and I didn't notice the opportunities or the lack of it happening during the movie. Like, I didn't even know that this, like, this measurement existed. Like
the Bechdel test.
Yeah, the Bechdel. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it existed till I read that article, and But yeah, it would have been simple.
To me, it's really sort of flawed because a lot of times the reason why women were talking about men is because it's their, for me, it's because it's a lot of times it's their love interest. And then, but when you get into more like queer stories, they're going to have like same sex people. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. If it was just, like, I would like to just see two women talking about their jobs or something, not their kids or their, whoever their partner is. Like, any of that, to me, would be great, but, it doesn't necessarily happen. I mean, I talk about things on TV, so I don't really have much to talk about. it's like, that's what I do, as I be snarky about things on television. So I don't actually have like a real life to talk about.
And you know what I was thinking too, like that scene in Avengers Age of Ultron where the guys are like talking about their girlfriends. I also enjoyed that scene because for so long, I mean, you look at so many movies throughout the history of time, right? And women are always being defined by the men in their lives. And, you want to go way back, like to the 50s and beyond, and back further still, of course. But like, you go back to the 50s, how many of these black and white movies were like, the girl goes from being daddy's little girl to being, Joe running back's, girlfriend. Like, she has no identity. Mm-hmm. She's never just, Mary Sue. No, she has to be somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's girlfriend. And she has else to talk about but the men in her life.
I hate those kind of memes or whatever where it's like, oh, well, she's somebody's fill in the blank. You don't want that to happen to your fill in the blank. It's like, she's a person.
Exactly. Period. She's also a person. So how about you just treat her like a person?
That's why I love 500 Days of Summer so much, man. Like, mm-hmm. That movie was all about the guy pining over, like exposing himself, like showing his emotion about the girl, and the girl not fitting those norms, and it being fine for her to do so, right? Like, she didn't want a relationship. She was just out doing her, enjoying, her time out. I don't know. I just like that movie. And I think it broke the cookie cutter, movie, like rom-com or just the stigma that everything has to be relationships or be this way, or the guy has to get the girl or so on and so forth. Yeah, man. But I've never seen those memes that that meme like that you're referring to.
Yeah. It's more like if something bad happens and people send it around. I mean, I've got a lot of, baby boomer aged people on my list. So they're all like, just think if that were your daughter, those kind of people. And I'm like, just think of the fact that nobody should be hurt like that or treated that way in general is what I think. But I mean, I have a lot of family, so people I just can't delete because, and I never think to like hide people, and I should, but
anyway. Oh no. Hiding people is the best thing you can ever do for
yourself.
I know.
I just never think about it. And I need
so much
to,
fun.
I totally need to do that because I have such a huge like extended family and they're all really a lot of them are very not like me at all, and I've had arguments with them on Facebook. I was going to say believe it or not, but that's even too funny for me to actually say with a straight face.
I think it just boils down to that, like, we as women, we just don't want to be, we don't want to be defined by being or belonging to somebody. Like, I can imagine men don't want that either, right? I mean, as a man, Bernie, I'm sure you don't want to be known as so-and-so's boyfriend or so-and-so's son, you know, all the time. Hey, know me for me. Know me for my stuff.
If the beginning of that is Gal Gadot's husband, I'm fine with
it. Okay. That's the only proviso. If it's Gal Gadot's husband, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine, Bernie, walking into your office and like all the work that you do, all the projects you work on, things you hand in, you don't get recognition for it as you. You get recognition for it because you're somebody, because you're so and so's husband, or you're so and so's son, or you're so and like it's never recognized for being you. After a while, I'm quite sure you'd be like, dude, you need to quit that because I did all this work, not that other person. And imagine that over decades, over more than a century of women being defined by the men in their lives. And it's terrible. I mean, it's beyond frustrating. It's beyond frustrating because I work hard to make a good name for myself at my job. I don't want to be, you know, just thought of as, you know, so-and-so's wife or whatever. Like, I don't want that either.
I can't relate to that. I've had work not be credited to me because like my boss has got
right
the praise.
Yeah.
So yeah, if that happens, like that's gross. I would be upset. I'd be like, nah, man, like that was me. I did that. Like,
exactly.
You know, and then I would assume I'd be just as upset, just as frustrated, you know, and just as stuck, you know, cause I think that's the worst feeling, right?
Yep.
The frustration and just like not being able like to move anywhere and go anywhere. I just want to be like get to a place where we're in a world where if I critique something, right, you know it's not coming from a place of like me judging you on your gender or your race or anything like that. If you did a great job, it's not like I'm bringing down the standards because you're a woman, because you're a minority, because of anything. I'm just, you did a good job because you did a good job. You did a shit job because you did a shit job. It has nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
I'll give you an example, right? The new Doctor Who is a woman, right? Surprise, surprise. Spoilers for anyone who didn't know that news.
In case you've been under a rock for the last two, 3 weeks.
it's Jodie Whittaker, correct, Brooke?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, so Brooke kindly invited me to this this Facebook group for Doctor Who fandom, right? And when the news was about to come out, I was clearly like, I don't care if it's a woman, right? But if I had my choice, it was always going to be Hayley Atwell, right? Or Natalie Dormer. But regardless,
Speaking of Natalie Dormer, I wanted her to be Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
Because when she has the blonde hair, I think it's perfect. But anyway, sorry.
No. So when the news came out, I was like, all right, cool, you know, great. But I started hearing a lot of like, well, she's going to be great or this is amazing. I'm like, well, I mean, I've seen a lot of shit doctors, you know, like, well, not a lot, but there's been a lot of like, we don't know if this is going to be great. Right. I think it's way past time that it should have been a woman a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that this season coming up is going to be great. And I like, that's what people started saying. Right. And you know, I get it. It's hopeful, you know, like, but for me, my concerns are the same concerns I would have had if it was a man or anyone else. It's like, well, how is this new showrunner going to run the show? Is, you know, I haven't seen anything Jodie Whittaker has been in, at least to my knowledge. Maybe I had seen her in a supporting role and I just never recognized her.
Right. The thing that most people have seen her in is Broadchurch.
I've never seen that, so yeah. I probably would have never right. seen her, right?
Yeah. Who does she play in Broadchurch?
Season, she's the mom of the boy that dies.
Oh,
but she has brown hair. She has brown hair. Yeah.
I saw the first season of Broadchurch. Yeah. I couldn't place who she was. Okay, gotcha.
So again, like my thing was more like I don't know, but it kind of like when I was putting this up there on the Facebook post, I felt like, damn man, people must think I'm a real piece of shit because I'm not like, yeah, man, Jodie Whittaker, everything's gonna be awesome again. We're gonna, you know, get real. Nah,
I have a friend who, she is really like super upset. Like we became friends on Facebook, and I thought I could add her to, almost added her to the group, and then I was glad I didn't because then I realized that there were too many people who were excited about it when it happened that she probably would have. When that had happened, she probably would have felt really out of place. But she actually talked about it on another podcast that she's on. Her talking about it, she was getting upset and trying not to cry because that's not who the Doctor is to her. And she hates Missy because she'd rather the Missy just be her own character and not be the Master because the Master is also a man. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, that's your, you know. But I felt so bad for her because she was, like, so upset about it. I mean, I actually have two or three friends that are female who are upset about it. But I don't know. I'm excited for all the things that could happen, and I know there could be bad things that happen. And, you know, I was worried at first about Chris Chibnall, but you know what? I'm going to go in it with a positive attitude and see where that takes me.
We should be rejoicing. Moffat's the fuck up out of here. You know, like we got him out the way. I would have loved to have some Davies written Capaldi. Didn't get it. Not even get, and you know, from and I've read articles where he stated that they've asked him to come back and write like a few episodes and he just says no. So I don't blame Moffat for not having Davies back. I gotta be honest with Doctor Who, I don't know what I want. And it's not what Jodie Whittaker's fault if I hate this season coming
right.
up.
Right.
You know? I don't think since I started watching in 2005, we've actually had a bad actor as the Doctor. I just think we've had a lot of shit writing for these actors.
Personally, I think a lot of I like a lot of the stories better that are Stephen Moffat than Russell T. Davies, personally, but, yeah. You know, just because I like a lot of the things from Russell T. Davies, I still prefer Stephen Moffat, and I know a lot of people hate him, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was about to say, we need to have another Doctor Who podcast, and Brooke, that's news to me. I did not know that.
I think we are having a Doctor Who podcast right now.
I feel like Rebecca, like the first podcast I did on LAP was the podcast Inception. It was me, Jessica, Candelorian, and Jared, and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan and Jared, I mean, Jesse and Jared were talking about fucking tennis for like half an hour, 25 minutes. And like me and Dan were just like, wow, this is horrible. So I feel like Rebecca, you know, it's in the
oh same. No, it's not it's not horrible. I don't hate Doctor Who. I enjoy some Doctor Who. I just don't know enough to like participate intelligently. So I just enjoy listening to you guys talk about it.
No, that's fine. We'll definitely have another because there are other people who wanted to do a podcast about Doctor Who, and we'll definitely do another one. But no, I understand when people don't like certain things, but. I like it, so
yeah.
I like a lot of the old stuff too. So, with shaky sets and all. Anyway, so back to, let's go back to, you know, the matter at hand.
I just want to live in a world where we can all just be honest and open with one another with no, like, ulterior motives behind, you know, whatever we say or do, you know? That's my wish.
Mm-hmm.
Miss America, answer.
that's your world peace speech. Peace, yes. I like it.
You can't see me, but I did the little wave.
That's hilarious. All I'm thinking of is that woman who was like, because of the Iraq on the map in the schools or whatever, oh, her terrible answer was. Just what I
And it's not like they didn't ever practice that stuff. Like, she had to practice. Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh. Anyway, do we want to do... I think we've got, like, our consensus is with this whole thing, with this comic book editor, with Heather, that people were mean to her, and it was dumb, and why can't we all be people? And do you want to move on to the article that you shared, Bernie, with us?
Sure. all right, so to preface this, the article is from Maxim, so... Let's put that out there, right?
Right, authority on women's feelings, okay, Maxim.
Right.
I mean, that's my go-to when I'm curious about my own feelings. I know, Maxim.
We're not even in the article yet. Rebecca's just fully loaded.
I know.
Back, yo.
Pretty much. It's all good.
To be fair, I have a few issues of Maxim that I had when I was a teenager. I still have them lying around. Not a teenager. Like in my 20s. But anyway, I digress. So the title of the article is Women Are Happier When Their Partner Is Less Attractive Than They Are, Says a New Study. And the picture they picked for the article was hilarious. It's Jonah Hill and... what's her name? I forgot.
That's the girl. That's the girl from La La Land, right?
Right.
I blanked on her name as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just laughing so hard. Emma Stone, yes.
Yes, Emma Stone, yeah. and Jonah Hill from Superbad, right? So apparently, the reasoning behind women being happier when their husbands are less attractive than they are. It's because if they have a more attractive husband, then they feel that they have to be more upkept and like diet more and work out more and be more, I guess, at tip top shape so that they can keep their husband happy. Whereas a woman with a less attractive husband doesn't think that these things are as important because that they don't have to worry about their husband with other women. So I take offense to this on several fronts, right? I'm going to tackle this from the unattractive part, right? it doesn't, like, that's insulting, right? Like, it's like, all right, so if I'm considered, right, because we have to classify people into two. And realistically, you know, into two categories, attractive and unattractive. So let's say I fall in the unattractive part, right? Which is fine because I'm a big believer in personality, right? That's how I've gotten most of my relationships. So I, like, another woman can't be attracted to me, or like, it's almost like you're safe, right? Like, you're good. I don't have to worry about keeping you happy. I'm just, you know, like, I'm happy myself because I don't have to worry about your happiness. And this is me, like, the woman talking to me, I assume, right? Or, like, that's how I would take it. I don't know how offended you two are about this article, because this shit is just funny to me.
Well, I think, number one, that kind of thing is subjective. I mean, there are obviously people who fall on ends of the spectrum, but then it's like there are people in the middle that it would definitely be subjective. I mean, my best friend is like, I have no idea why you like Chris Evans because he just looks like a dude to me, which is fine. That's what she thinks. And when I say that, I don't mean Cindy, obviously.
No. Cindy and I have an understanding. Yep. Okay.
I agree with her, though. Like Chris Evans is not all that, man.
Bernie, don't start. Don't start.
That's completely fine. But, like, so, you know, that's kind of subjective, I think. But one of the things I was so mad about this article is that this, okay, so the study was done at the University of Florida, and it was like 113 newlyweds, 20-something couples. And it's like, were they all from, like, that area? Did they do, like, an online poll? Because if they just went around to the mall or some shit, you know, it doesn't give, like, where how far their study went, you know. So that's kind of annoying. But it does talk about where it says, sure, following a healthy diet for the sake of health and wellness is great, but crash diets and eating dry salad until you're a dizzy mess, horrible. And I thought that was probably the most, like, feminist thing that Maxim would say in this article, and it was better than I expected. But I don't know that it would necessarily make me happier. Like, I feel like my husband was more attractive than I am, but that's because I'm awkward and weird. I don't know, but I didn't feel like I had to I'm also not somebody who necessarily goes for, like, cultural, like, what, like, people think that, oh, you need to do this or that. So I wouldn't necessarily be a good person, I guess, to ask, but I don't feel like I didn't feel like I had to do anything to keep him around, whether we were married, when we were married or not. But obviously we're not anymore, but that's completely different. I'm going by on the time that we were together and we were happy. And certainly whenever we parted, it didn't have anything to do with that. There were other things that were going on in our lives, you know, that did not have to do with what either one of us looked like. It was more both of us being depressed, for various reasons. Anyway, so I don't know. I know a lot of people who, you know, wear a lot of makeup or do this or that or, you know, cut their hair a certain way because the guy they're with, that's what they like. And it's like, I don't do that because I want, with whoever I date or even friends, it's like, if they don't like me because of something like that I do that has nothing to do with them, then they shouldn't stick around.
let me ask a question now that we bring up makeup. And I'm digressing like a motherfucker probably. Like,
whatever.
But, you know, like, I always wanted to ask, like, you know, you're a woman's perspective, right? And since, you know, this is, I guess, the place. All right. I hate lipstick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, if I'm dating a girl and she puts on lipstick, like, I hate it. Now, I'm not the one to ever be like, yo, listen, like, don't, like, you can't wear lipstick. Like, that's your choice. If you like it, then wear it. I just hate being kissed with lipstick. I hate that shit with such a fucking...
Like, when it gets all over everything.
Really? Oh, my God, yes, man.
Like, I mean, they have some that's no smudge and wouldn't come off.
No, that's bullshit lies, because...
No, that's not true, because they do have some that works, but people don't want to pay for it.
I was about to say, the ones that really are no smudge are very expensive, I would never in my life buy them. No. I have matte lipsticks that do not smudge as much.
Right.
But I would never pay for the one that, like, does not move or does not smudge. Yeah, yeah. All right. I am so surprised to hear you say that, Bernie, because my ex used to love when I kissed him and I smudged my lipstick on his arm. He loved that, like, idea of, like, I don't know, like, just, I guess, I don't know why he liked it, but he just did. He thought it was a real turn on.
Oh, God. Oh, yo.
Not that he wanted to wear lipstick, I don't think.
No,
I'm
not saying that.
But I mean, yeah, he thought it was like a real turn on.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's interesting.
Like, all right. So, but my sense would be like, yo, you know, like, I don't want to tell you what to do or what not to do. But I, like, for me, like, I wouldn't kiss her. Like, again, I understand that you guys are saying that there is lipstick that won't smudge at all.
And it's like, you know, $50 a tube or something.
Yeah,
like
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
I've always, like, when a girl has, I brought this problem, because I'm open. I'm not going to lie to you about it. Like, when I don't want to kiss you, I don't want you to think it's because, you know, there's something up. It's just, you know, it's your lipstick. So I've let them know. And they said they bought, like, non-smudge lipstick or whatever, and it smudged. And for some reason, it didn't, it smudged off them. It got on me, and it wouldn't come the fuck off, right? So yeah. Then I'm like, now I'm even more mad, right? And don't get me started. Like, there was this point in time when lip gloss was the thing to be in, and there was this really fucking sticky ass lip gloss that a girl I was dating put on, and she's like, nah, like, she kissed like my forearm with it, and that shit, water ran through it, and it wouldn't go through. Like, it wouldn't come off. You know? Like, I was in the bathroom for like 30 minutes, and it still didn't come off. It was still sticky. That's just
lip gloss is the worst.
Anything, right? Anything. And like, I'm not a fan, you know, but if you want to wear it, that's fine. I just, like, you know, I would not want to kiss you on that. Do you think that's fair to ask or to do? Like, you know, like, I don't know.
I think, okay, if I went on a date with a guy and at the end he said to me, it's nothing personal, I just have a thing where I don't like to kiss someone who's wearing lipstick. If he said it to me that way, I would be okay with it in the sense of like, oh, okay, well, that's your preference, that's fine. Versus if he said, well, if you expect me to kiss you, sweetheart, you better wipe that lipstick off your face. Then that's a problem. But I think if you present it in a very, like, if you're just honest about it and just say, hey, listen, it's nothing personal. I just have a thing. I don't like to kiss lips that have lipstick on them. Or however you say it, if you say it just honest and open, if the woman's mature enough, then she hopefully won't take offense to that. Because you're not dictating to her, you know, what she can and can't do. You're just telling her your preference.
Brooke, do you agree?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think sometimes girls do certain things because that's what they think a guy would like, and sometimes they do it for themselves. So there's sort of a weird line there, you know, because I would be like, all right, you know, well, if I like wearing lipstick, I guess you won't be kissing me then, you know, or whatever. Or, you know, or when we go out and I'm wearing a fancy dress, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I don't wear makeup at all, so there's pretty much no reason I'm wearing lipstick unless I'm cosplaying Peggy Carter, basically.
See, I will generally wear some makeup every day, and I do put on lipstick because I feel like it brightens up my face, and usually I'll try to match it like to whatever I'm wearing, right? So yeah. If I'm wearing something more of a brown, I'll try to get like a little, maybe like a light brown or like a neutral color. If I'm wearing pink, I'll try to do like a mauve, you know, because I feel like it ties my outfit together. Right. And I like the way I look when I wear lipstick. So, but if I went on a date, I mean, for sure, I would wear lipstick because I feel like, you know, it would help me look my best. And let's be honest, like on especially a first date, you want to look your best. You want to like put your, you know, best foot forward. You don't want to show up, you know, in like your like wrinkled pajama bottoms. You want to show up looking your best. So yeah, hey, I would.
I don't go anywhere in wrinkled pajama bottoms.
No, I know. I'm sure you don't. But I mean, We've seen people. I've seen people.
Oh, I know. I do too. I don't know. I feel like there's a difference between sleepwear and loungewear and regular clothes.
I agree. Yeah. But if on said date, if the guy and I really clicked, and at the end of the date, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to kiss me. And he says to me just really respectfully, you know, just that he's just not into it. If I was feeling it, that I wanted to kiss him, I might wipe the lipstick off and go for it. If I didn't feel like I connected with him, I might be like, oh, okay, bye. And just walk away. Like, there's my out, to then just kind of be like, you know, peace and just leave.
To me, the experiences I've had, and it's been, like, with first dates or whatever, like, that's different to me. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't even bring that topic up, because I also don't think, you know, it's funny, I should have brought this up. We'll talk about it another time, but I recently went on a first date. But regardless, this is more of, like, my girlfriend. Like, I'm in a relationship with this girl, and, you know, I early on, I've told her, you know, like, it's not that I don't like you, it's just I can't deal with lipstick. And then they've worn lipstick and then tried to kiss me, and I've been like, listen, you know, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they get upset, you know, they'd be like, well, you know, like, why are you being like that? You know, or if you like me so much, or if you love me, like, it wouldn't matter what I have on, which I think is kind of fucking unfair, you know, like, because my response is always like, well, if you fucking love me this much, you would know to not pressure me into doing this, you know, like, because I don't like it, and it's fucked up. But whatever. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't some type of fucking psycho, you know, that I was somewhat, you know, justified to request, like, you know, like, maybe don't kiss me with lipstick on. So.
I mean, I think the key word you just said is request.
I thought you were going to say psycho.
No. Oh, no, I already knew that going into this. I think request is the key word, and the fact that you understand that it's a request, I think that speaks volumes to your character, because you're not demanding and saying, listen, these are the rules, and if you want to be with me, this is how it's going to work, Toots. You know, you're not doing that. And I think that's where I, as a woman, would get upset and be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Bye. You know, but I mean, I think, you know, everybody has their personal preferences, and you like what you like and you hate what you hate. And I think that we all do, men and women do little things to please their partners, right? I mean, if your girl says to you, I don't like that cologne that you wear, it just bugs me, but it's your favorite cologne, maybe you don't wear it every time you see her, or you save it for when you know you're not going to be around her. You know, that kind of thing.
Did you guys hear a ding, ding just now?
No.
No. Okay,
good. No, because I set up my iCloud account to the MacBook, and every time I get a phone call and stuff, it goes right to the MacBook. So someone tried calling me like a psycho. And they texting me, and I'm like, all right, dude, I can't talk. Give me like 20 minutes. Yeah, all right. And good. Like, I'm glad it's something that's fair and you know, reasonable, you know, a person with reasonable faculties will understand that and say, you know, like, all right, let's.
I think if you just keep it as a request, I think, again, that's just the key word here.
So you mean I can't be like, if you wear that fucking lipstick again, I'm going to...
No, I mean, listen, it's a free country and you can say whatever you want, but there's consequences to all actions. You know that.
I have no issue with it being worn. Like, I have no one to tell you what you can or can't wear, right?
You just don't like you don't like to kiss lips that have lipstick on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I get that.
So, we've digressed, right?
Yeah. I was gonna say maybe let's. I mean, we could talk about makeup and stuff on a whole other podcast, but if you don't mind, I had a couple things I wanted to talk about this article. If,
sure.
If you're done, though, Brooke, I don't want to interrupt you. No, more to say.
Imagine I was just like filling in so that Rebecca doesn't get a chance to.
Ha! You're hilarious, bro. I have your number. I'll call you and leave you a voicemail telling you what I think about this article.
We'll be like, yo, add this to the end of the podcast.
So I agree with you, Brooke, about that point about the 113 couples, and they were all in their 20s.
Yeah.
I thought that was the dumbest thing ever. First of all, that's such a tiny group of people to really talk to. And they're all in their 20s? Like, that's such a young age for either a man or a woman. Like, do you even know what you really want in your 20s? I thought that was terrible.
Quick, it said something about them being like, you know, they're based on their... They were ranked on desirability based on body and face attractiveness. It's like, were the researchers the ones that did that? Or was spouse the one that did that? That's what I don't understand.
I think that there is a like symmetry and stuff like that, that people gauge attractive. I think there is some type of scientific way to gauge someone's like attractiveness. I don't quote me on that.
No, there is. There's a whole science about people whose faces are more symmetrical are considered to be more attractive. Like we're not even aware of it, but people tend to gravitate toward faces that are more symmetrical. It's like totally a subconscious thing, and that's fine. But there is an old saying, and it is a cliche, but it really is true, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And you could be with somebody that maybe the rest of the world goes, I have no idea what you see in this guy, gal. They're not very attractive to me. But if they're attractive to you, then what the hell does it matter if their face is symmetrical or if they're hot or you're not? I mean, what does that even matter? And if that's all you care about, if that's all that you're thinking about, then guess what? Your marriage is not going to last no matter what, because homeboy will move on to a more attractive girl, or she'll dump you for a better looking guy or whatever. So this whole study is bullshit to me. I think it's totally dumb. And I also think the fact, like the very end of the article says, I suppose that's the logical answer to why hot women date ugly dudes. It makes them happy, plain and simple. Fuck this article. Fuck this author. You want to know the worst part about this? The author is a woman. I am so... I don't know... Whatever. I don't know what she... I'm sure it's just a paycheck to her... Whatever. I just think this is the most degrading article to both men and women, because it's saying that, first of all, quote unquote hot guys don't have a chance of getting a hot wife, and that ugly dudes will get the hot girl. That happens in like Revenge of the Nerds, and that's fun to watch. And even if it happens in real life, if you see a really good-looking woman with a guy maybe that's not as attractive as her, then either he's got something in him that she loves, that she can... Yeah, I know. She wants the D. I know. I'm trying to get beyond that.
I tried to let it go as much as
possible. It's all good. But... you guys understand what I'm trying to say. Yes. If he's attractive to her, then why are we putting labels on anybody of who's hot and who's not? Are we 15 again and back in high school? And it's so ridiculous. This article is so terrible.
I worked with one of my best friends. I worked with her and her husband, and this older woman who was probably like 57 at the time was like, why why does she, is she dating him? And I'm like, okay, number one, they've been dating since like the 11th grade and they are a perfect match. And she's like, because she's so cute. And then it comes to like the whole, like, if she just didn't wear her glasses, she would just be gorgeous. And I'm like, listen, she's cute and she's hilarious and she's a great person and he's hilarious and he may not be Chris Evans, but she thinks he's the hottest thing ever and he thinks she's the hottest thing ever and that's all that matters because they're together and they love each other. You know, I'm like,
and if you're going on, you know, these crash diets because you want to look good for your mate and you're not worried about your own health, that's a whole nother level of problems that you have.
Yeah, like, and if they're not seeing it and also worried about your level of health, that's another thing.
Exactly. So like for me, I'm on this whole thing where I've been like losing weight and I've been working out and I've been doing it not because I'm in a relationship, not because I want to get a hot boyfriend or something ridiculous like that. I'm doing it because I want to be healthier for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy with how I looked. No one told me, wow, you know, if you lost some weight, you know, that's not true. People have told me a lot of shit about my weight, but no. I made the change for me because I wanted to feel better. I wanted to look better. I wanted to be healthier for me. And if all you're worried about is staying thin or looking good because your husband is hot, you need help. Like, you need a lot of help. And you are not in a good place with yourself. You don't have good body self-esteem issues. You see a therapist. My God. Like, this whole article is just so, so ridiculous.
All right, I have a question. You took like real offense when you brought up the fact that this article was written by a woman.
I was surprised. I really was. I thought I would Google it because I felt like the article used so many labels of like the hot chick and the ugly dude that I had, was hoping that we as women could move away from. And here's a woman bringing it right back. And I was a little disappointed. I really was. I was so sure it was going to be a guy that wrote this.
And there you go, stereotyping people.
There you go. See, we're all guilty of it, right? We're all, because I really thought, I read this article and I said, there's no way a woman wrote this. And I Googled the author, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's a woman. What? Like, I was so upset about that.
I don't know how, and this is another thing that happens. Like, women don't believe that there are women like this in the world, right? And I don't know what compelled, this author to write this, right?
A paycheck, I assume.
It could be just something.
Or it could be how she feels, for all I know.
Right. My thing is that, while ideally, like, the person who we choose to be with, we should feel comfortable around and should lift us up instead of trying. Because this entire article, was, they should have just ended it with one word. Or like one sentence. People are insecure. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You got it.
But we, like, but I've met people, and I know people that do work out or are extremely attractive, right? That their attitude is, well, there's no way I would date someone, like, not on my level, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't even just have to be about looks. It could be economic, like classes. It could be, you know, if they have kids. A lot of factors that people put, like, I'm not dating someone with this. And if we, and I've been told, right, I have no argument for it. I don't think I feel the same way, but I've been told if people are allowed to say, like, someone with a kid or someone who is unemployed or someone who is this or that is not my type or is not something I'm looking for, then why can't someone say, I only want to date people who are attractive, right? This is something to me that it's like, it's not that I see both sides of an argument.
Okay, but let me ask you a follow-up question then.
Okay.
If this person says they only want to date people who are attractive, who sets the standard for attractive? The person themselves?
The person themselves, yeah.
So what happens if you say, I only want to date women that are attractive, right? And you find a woman that you qualify as attractive, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, perfect, this is the girl for me. You guys start dating. All your friends go, dude, she's ugly. She's not attractive at all. Mm-hmm. So you've already said, I only want to date attractive people. Are you secure enough in your own decision of what's attractive to be able to say, you guys are out of your mind, she's hot, I love her, whatever? Or will your fear of their rejection, because now, oh wait a minute, maybe she's not attractive, I have to rethink this whole thing. There's the danger. Right there. There's mm-hmm. the danger.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. But, you know, because some people don't have as much interest. I'm just thinking about high school, because I think all of this is sort of like more adolescent, where, oh, everybody likes this one guy because he's popular and they think he's hot. Like, there was this kid named Aaron that everybody thought was the hottest thing in my school. And I was like, he's not attractive. He's just a dude. And everybody just thought he was the greatest thing because he was popular and he was on these sports teams. And so that automatically, you know, that's sort of like the natural selection sort of thing. Like, you're trying to get with the most, the best mate you can to keep your line going kind of thing, like the sort of primal mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, and me, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. But
yeah, I agree. It's adolescent almost. It's, but yeah, it's something that, like, I've dealt with this problem, right? Where it's not, and to be fair, it's not really just attractiveness. And I guess we're digressing, but let's say I've had that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, online dating, it's few, but, you know, I'm pretty sure other people have the mentality, but they don't put it on their profiles, where they're all right, if you're not this height, and if you're not this stature,
yeah,
and if you don't work out, if you don't do this, and then of course you have the other ones that'll say, if you don't have your shit together, if you don't have a car, if you don't live on your own, like, don't bother messaging me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, me personally, I'm like, I take offense to that, right? More so because it's like, what if I were to, you know, like, write my shit, right? Like, my preferences in the manner that you're writing it, you know, to me. And I prefer not to do that because I don't really think I have a type. You know, I have no standards, you know?
That sounds bad, but I think we understand what you're saying.
I don't think you mean it like that, but yeah. I understand what you mean.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, it's the best way for me to classify, because I don't want to say I don't have, like, there's no criteria, whatever.
Right.
But regardless, like, I think that when it's presented in that way and it's openly stated, then we take it like, you know, like, this person is either, like, they're an asshole, you know, like, for writing this, like, how dare they? But some of them might not write it or openly say it, but that's what they're thinking, you know? And you know, I I've had conversations with guys that say, you know, like, oh, why, I would never date her, or I would never do that, you know, like, and I'm just like, why, like, again, I understand it, but, why have that, like, stigma, or why, like, what makes you so hot
mm-hmm.
that you choose to, like, completely, like, cut off a group of women because they don't, you know, like, meet certain standards in your mind? I don't know, it's weird. So, like, when I hear this woman that this woman wrote this article, I completely, I can see it, you know, it's something that wow, to you it may be like, God, like that, like, oh my, like, wow, like, it's shocking that this woman would write. I think it's like an everyday occurrence. You know, like, there are women that think this way. There are women that agree with this mentality, you know, like, in classifying people as hot or not. And, you know, that's what Tinder is made for. You know, do you think people read profiles on Tinder?
No, I'm sure they don't. I mean, I guess, I understand that there are women like this who exist in our society. It's not like I don't think that it's, or don't understand that. I guess I was just so, I don't know, hopeful that we have moved past putting labels on each other like this. And I mean, any woman, and I don't even want to say any woman, any person out there knows what it is to have a label put on them, right? From being called fat, being called too dark, being called too light. Oh, you have good hair. Oh, you have bad hair. Oh, you're too tall. You're too short. You're too skinny. Your boobs are too big. Your boobs are too small. Your ass is too big. Your ass is too small. We put labels on each other. And it doesn't help anything or help anybody. I've been called fat, chunky, chubby, gordita my whole life. It never made me want to lose weight. It just hurt me. It wasn't until I could become old enough to get past that, to go, get your shit together, Rebecca, and do something about it if you're not happy with how you look. So it saddened me that this woman so easily put labels on people, the hot chick and the ugly dude. It just, maybe I'm taking this all way too seriously, but it bothered me that she did that. And maybe it shouldn't bother me so much. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
The only way I can relate to, like, I think maybe how you feel is like when I see like a Hispanic put some ignorant shit up, like an ignorant article or some bullshit like that. I'm like, wow, you know, like, you writing this fucking article is just making everyone else that has the stereotype about us fucking mm-hmm. think the same shit. You know, like, that think that we believe this about ourselves. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But I feel like that's how I relate it, where it's like you look at it as like, you know,
exactly. Like, I think you really have a really good analogy there, because it's like the article is written like, oh yeah, that's right. The plain truth is hot girls want to date ugly guys because it makes them happy. Why are you saying that as a woman?
And it's none of it is actually definitive. It's just at the end, she's like, so I guess logically, this is where the conclusions we should draw from it. Like, no, it's just what you're doing. That's just what you think. I think that the whole thing was bullshit because it didn't have a big enough group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. At the core, I mean, if you even want to take this with a grain of any kind of sincerity, their core group was not big enough to make a definitive statement.
It's like, fuck this, me being a woman or anything, as a scientist, I need a bigger group.
I love that. As a scientist, your base group is not big enough.
Yeah. Wow. Hug, Rebecca, hug.
Oh, thank you. I mean, yeah, I get really fired up about this stuff, as you can see. I do, because it's, I'm with you, Bernie. Why can't we just say nice things to each other? Like, why can't we just, instead of putting labels on people, can't we just, like, say nice things to each other?
Well, I mean, I want to be able to say bad things to people, too. I just mean that when I say them, I just mean when I say the bad thing, you don't think I'm a sexist or a racist. You know, like, I just, you know, when I say this is shit, I don't want you to think it's because you know, it's an ulterior motive. But I'm still going to say this is shit, you know?
That's fine. I have never felt that you hated any of my reviews on anything because I was a woman. I think you just don't like my taste and stuff.
Absolutely. I can't think of one right now.
Iron Fist. I know because I enjoyed it and you hated it. So, yeah, right there.
I was thinking about that today. You and Jared, right? Because I think Jared
enjoyed it. I was on the Joe Schmo comic show when we reviewed it, and I enjoyed Iron Fist. I still enjoy the story. I get why everyone hates the choreography, but I still enjoyed the story Iron Fist.
Once I heard the reviews, I just skipped that episode, man. I was like,
I know, you were like so mad. You were like, what?
So fucking bad. And it came to my mind today because I was listening to the Kevin Smith podcast, and they were going over everything in Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And they brought up how Iron Fist, and then Mark Bernard, which is his co-host, was like, who also hated the series. I was like, wow, I can't believe so many people in the army loved that shit, man. It was so bad. It was the worst soap opera I've ever seen.
You know, you honestly never watched Passions, then.
Absolutely not.
Oh my god, Passions! I used to love Passions! Oh
that
my
one,
god!
That one was like intentionally so bad it was good.
Brooke,
though.
You took it back! You took it back to Passions! Oh, we gotta talk about that off air.
I've watched Days of Our Lives and General Hospital with my sister when I was younger. God, man. Wow.
I could probably talk about Bo and Hope for a while because I always had to watch Days of Our Lives with my grandmother when I was a kid.
Oh, I watched Young and the Restless with my grandmother.
My name is Brooke after Brooke from All My Children.
Really?
Yeah. Not Brooke Shields, but Brooke from All My Children.
That's hilarious.
Because that character was like this about the same age as my mom was when she started watching it, like a teenager, and she started watching it and she always loved that name, so that was all, like, if she had a kid, that was always going to be their name, basically.
Man.
Her name came from a comic strip, so it's, you know, similar, just more advanced technology, I guess.
Let's see, yeah. Is this it? Are we done?
I think this was a really good episode. This was a really good conversation we had.
I agree.
I enjoyed it very much.
I feel bad if you ever run into the author of that article, but I think it was fun. It was good. You know, we touched a bunch of different topics, especially for our quote unquote first episode.
First. This is our third first episode.
I mean, just make sure that it gets uploaded first and then it will be the first.
Exactly.
Don't worry, seventh time's the charm.
There you go.
All right, so I guess this is our first episode. Thank you guys for, you know, joining. We will be back. I don't know when or where or about what. But, yeah, thank you guys for joining. You guys have anything you want to say? You want to plug your podcast?
Go ahead, Brooke.
Okay, so I have a Golden Girls podcast that we haven't posted anything in a while because I'm still lazy. I started a new job and then we had this convention we went to this past weekend that was terrible, but that I was getting ready for, and it didn't become terrible till about, I don't know, Monday, and then 3/4 of the guests quit and didn't come. Because they had heard about how horrible everything was and the fact that it was going to be held at a mall. Anyway, but there will be articles to come about that because I'm going to start writing reviews on conventions that I go to.
Nice.
As a vendor, as a regular person, sometimes as actual press for Eurocult TV, because it's my friend's website. They started out reviewing terrible, like, horror movies and stuff and obscure kind of things, and now they do everything, and he gets lots of things sent to him. Bernie, that's Scott from the Doctor Who group. It's his thing. And actually, he's sending me some Teen Wolf Blu-rays. I get to review Teen Wolf 1 and 2 on Blu-ray. And so that's going to be exciting, too. Yeah, back to my podcast, Golden Girls. It's called Picture It. Hopefully, me and Cindy will be doing some soon. I'm going to be going to Dragon Con, so hopefully we can get a couple done before I go to that, because I have a costume to finish. Anyway, and I'm Brookita 37 on everything, so you can find me that way. That's it.
So I am on Ladies of the Leftover Army. I too have been very lazy, and I have not recorded an episode in a little while, but we are coming back. I have some people lined up for stuff, which will be great. So you can listen to us through the Leftover Army podcast that comes out. You can also hear me on the Animated Backcast, which is a brand new podcast I am co-hosting with Paul Hart from the Leftover Army. Mm-hmm. We're on iTunes. We are on Google Play, and I think we're on Stitcher now. We're probably on all the things, I would imagine. And we just did an episode where we reviewed Mask of the Phantasm for the 25th anniversary of the release of that movie. And you can listen to that. We are joined by David, Isaac, and Brian from PCL. So that was pretty nice. And I'm on all social media as Dollface Rebecca. And that's Rebecca with a K-A-H, not a C-C-A. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited because I had signed up to do one of those. So.
Oh, you did? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah. I have not watched that since it came out, so it'll be exciting to watch
an
episode or two, because I might jump on some other time if you need somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. What's great is all the episodes are available on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch them for free as part of your prescription, as part of your subscription. Oh God, prescription. So much time at work. So yeah, you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. All episodes are up, which is great. And if you, you can watch it with X-ray, which it gives you like all these great little tidbits about the episode. Who does whose voice?
It's like pop-up video or something.
Exactly. But it's like, it's nice because like if you watch it on your tablet, it just comes up on the side whenever you tap the screen. So it's not like in your face if you don't want it, which is great. So like you're watching on your laptop, on your iPad or your phone, whatever, if you tap the screen on the side, a little bar will pop up and it'll tell you who's doing what voice in the scene, and it'll tell you any little tidbits about the episode, which is great. So it gives you little insights into the episode, and so you can check us out there, Animated Backcast.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I have my podcast No One Cares About that is back up and running.
What a name.
You know what? It was once we threw it out there, we just couldn't pick anything else. It stood out the best. It's back up. We'll have a drinking episode soon.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. We've only been recording through Zoom as of late, but we're planning to meet up, and I actually have an episode where we're, you know, all together. That'll be fun.
Nice.
Maybe put it up on YouTube. We're doing this, all three of us, His and Perspective on the LAP. I guess we should call it a network at this point, right?
So yeah, it should be a network. I agree.
I offered to help do things to make it a network, but Brian isn't into like having an empire for some reason.
Soon I had just brought up the idea, but we're probably going to start a fantasy football league recap podcast for the LAP. And that should be fun because everyone in our league curses a whole fucking lot. And right now, in the time I was doing this podcast with you girls, I have about 300 messages I have to read from that chat. So
listen, once you start a chat with the leftover army people, it's a problem. There's hundreds of messages that happen. It's like
we had one for C2E2.
Oh my god, how literally long did that go for?
Went on every day, just about all day, for 2 months after C2E2.
We were still on that chat thread. Like, everyone's still on
it, but people don't post on it anymore because I think we've all gone back to our other stuff.
Yeah.
Seriously, all day, every day, for 2 months straight afterwards. And before, but still.
No, I agree. And you know what's funny is, right after that chat started happening is when Brian joined the Leftover Army page.
I know, yeah.
So, because before
then...
It's because of us. You're welcome. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't us. But, like, even, like, for the video that we're doing for the 200th episode, you know, Dan does these group messages to get us all together. He always starts out the messages, like, before you start, don't. Like, do not... Keep the chatter to a minimum, because...
Because they used to go on forever when he would do that.
Yeah,
and I would have to mute it.
It's terrible because you get like 1,000 notifications. So good luck, Bernie, reading all those messages.
Oh, I'm not even going to attempt. First of all, David Isaac hasn't responded yet. That's the one I go. That's the one I want to. I actually take the time to read. Grants are incredible, man. I just cannot stop laughing.
Well, we have, because we still have a group, the five of us that stayed by ourselves at C2E2.
Oh, okay.
It was me and Jacob Harmon and Dan Hunter and Dan's friend Austin and then me and Cindy. And I said me first, so whatever. I wasn't there twice. But we're still in a group, and basically most of the time the only thing we share is jokes, puns and stuff. And it's
I believe it.
Every day.
You have Jacob Harmon in that group. There's puns.
There's at least one new joke every day, and it's amazing.
So, and the last thing I plug is the Pop Culture Leftover podcast, which is
why we're all here.
Yeah,
that's true.
Whoever stumbles upon this podcast, and because I'm going to hashtag feminism on it.
oh boy!
And you enjoyed this little tidbit, you definitely enjoyed the Pop Culture Leftovers podcast. Did you girls hear this week's episode?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah. it was
the hard stop was hilarious.
That is my favorite thing I think that's ever happened.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my god.
Yeah, where Jake is like, let me see if I can find it. Starts playing, it cuts off. Gorgeous. Anyway, I think But thank you guys for joining. Thank you guys for listening. And I hope to speak to you guys soon.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.